This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi. After a brief hiatus, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishakaran is back for his monthly show and we are set to discuss a very interesting topic which is very hot and I know you want to get involved in this. It is public transportation. You know, Rajiv, welcome to the show. How are you? Today you're going to be co-hosting with me for a change.
Yes, that's great. And yes. It's good to be back. It's been like 6 months, I think, yes. Since I've been on air.
You've been a busy man.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Doing a lot of things. And public transportation, I mean, it's something that affects everyone.
It's something that
everyone.
I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
I think that's something that really needs improvement and it's really important to all of us in the Klang Valley.
I know. I was just reading Section 5 residents are upset with the noise from the LRT.
That's just one of the many issues that we have.
It comes under you.
It does.
Okay,
it does.
So joining us today to answer all the more questions rather than post them all to Rajiv is Ang Yok Kee. He's a Group Chief Operating Officer of Strategy and Transformation at Prasarana. Welcome to the show, Ang. How are you today?
Good. Thanks, Meera, for having me here. Good.
You are most welcome. I mean, let's just go through. Prasarana provides public transportation systems and services, public transport meaning rail and bus, except KTM commuter.
Exactly.
Am I correct?
Yes,
is that
exactly.
The easiest way to understand this?
You could say that, yes.
Okay, because we hear of so many different bodies. Sometimes we get terribly confused. Let's start with you, Ang. You know, there was a new management team that took over after the new government came into force in after May 9th. I think this was sometime in September, October?
Yes, in September.
September. You had a new CEO.
COO.
Dato Muhammad Hazlan, yes. Muhammad Hussein. And then you came in with the new management team as well. What's it been like for you?
Well, it has been an interesting 9 months. So Prasarana is wholly owned by MOF, Ministry of Finance. And operationally, we report to the Ministry of Transport. So back in September, the three-man team led by our, like I said, Dato' Hazlan, our CEO, and myself and Encik Nizam, the COO, were appointed. And I think ever since then, we were quite busy getting our hands full with streamlining the processes, setting up fire plan to set a path for us to be operationally and financially viable in terms of the operational standpoint and reprioritize some of the issues and tasks at hand. And overall, I think what we want to do is to be guided by three main things: to increase the ridership, to provide a quality service, as well as to be financially viable, at least from a standpoint of, at least from the operation standpoint.
Okay, financially viable. Yeah. We'll come to that at the last because in my mind, I'm not terribly sure how public transportation can actually be financially viable. I'm not sure which country in the world makes money from public transportation, but we can have that discussion. But you know what? If you have a question for Ang or even Rajiv, give us a call. The phone lines are open. It's 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Rajiv, last year the Transport Ministry received an increase of 52 million ringgit in the budget allocation for budget 2019. And when we talk about public transport, what is the government's aim with that increase of 52 million?
So let's look at the big picture of public transport and what government needs to do with it and what the government wants to do with it. It's two-pronged. Number one, it's quality of life. So if we can get traffic jams down, we can help people move from one place to another place faster, easier, in a less stressful manner. That's one of the big overriding objectives. So quality of life, speed of transport, and for that to happen, public transport is a must because the Klang Valley has 8 million people today, and no city in the world that is more than 5 million people can survive without public transport. If any city in the world that's more than 5 million people either has good public transport or has gridlock. So we don't want to be in the gridlock category. We want to move away from a traffic jam norm that we face and that we've gotten used to for the last 10 years, 15, 20 years, to one where we can move easily from any one end to another end of the Klang Valley. So that's one objective. Second objective is cost of living, because if done right, public transport can drastically reduce one's cost of living. So what we have done in the new government is to fulfill one of the manifesto promises, which is to introduce the 100 ringgit transport pass. And that drastically brings down the cost of living, because if you were to compare that with public transport before, it's cheaper. If you were to compare that with owning a car, owning a motorbike, it's cheaper. So it's two-pronged. One, it's managing, giving an option and helping people manage cost of living. Second, managing the amount of time you spend on the road and ultimately the quality of life.
Okay, which is where Prasarana comes in. You want to increase ridership, you want to improve quality so that all of us want to take your public transportation. You know, what have you been working on over the last 9 months?
Exactly. So in terms of, I just want to add on to the My 100 Pass. I think we have seen increased ridership month on month of about 14%. I think that was also announced by our CEO. I think it was a good step in proving that this pass really makes sense to increase ridership. So the few things that we were working on in a couple of months, touching on the viability of the finances. I think one thing that we want to do is to also focus a lot on the non-fare revenue, which is the revenue comes outside the fare box. I think what we do is to make sure to put in effort to make our stations and assets. We own about 115 stations all over Klang Valley, and our rail network is about 150 kilometer long. So we're trying to do a lot of things to make our stations more vibrant, bring in marquee tenants into our stations, and the ultimate goal is also bring traction to these stations, make it a go-to place, and in a way, it will indirectly increase the ridership of the trains and buses.
Okay, I'll be very honest with you. I'd love to take the MRT to work. I mean, it's right here. It stops right here at Wanutama. But I have to travel 10 kilometres to the nearest station. So I think the issue a lot of us face is the last mile connection. What are you doing to address that?
Exactly. I think this is something that we need to collaborate with a lot of parties. I think public transport is a combination of Prasarana and other stakeholders of the public transport, including the e-hailing services, the taxis, and also a little bit of the collaboration with the local councils and state councils. So I think maybe it's good that Wahabi Rajiv is here. I think one of the grouses that we got is that, you know, from the train stations, when they want to walk out, when they embark on the train, when they disembark from the train and want to walk to the nearest shops and retail shops, the shelter and the connectivity is not quite there. So this is something that we hope to be able to work with the local council.
Yep, indeed. Local councils, I think KL, PJ has definitely spent a sizable amount of money every year extending the network of walkways. So it may not be done overnight, but it's definitely increasing every year. And in fact, in the last few months, we have made sure that in PJ, in the Bukit Gasing portion of PJ, we have two LRT stations, the Asia Jaya and the Taman Jaya LRT station, and that the walking distance that is viable, so the 400 to 600 meters from the stations, that we get the walkways done right. So we've identified a few shortcomings, and we are working with MBPJ to get that done, to get it done up. But by and far, 80% of the buildings that are reachable by foot from both the Asia Jaya and the Taman Jaya LRT station, actually you have moderately decent walkways. And so that's something that needs to be done for the rest of the stations that we have. And that's the immediate circle around the stations. So we get the walkways done right. And then for the bigger circle around the station, maybe the 3 to 5 kilometer radius outside the station, then that's where we need to roll out more buses or to get increased confidence in the existing buses that we have. So people would start to use public transport in general.
Why do you think people don't have confidence in the buses?
I think generally the perception is buses are not reliable. They don't come on time. But a lot of us have not used, a lot of Malaysians, a lot of residents of the Klang Valley have never stepped on the bus in the last 5 years. So a lot of the prejudices may be one from anecdotal experiences many years ago. So this is something that I hope that the new team in Prasarana can work on addressing. I know they've only been on the job for 9 months. They definitely are working around the clock. But this is something that we need to go hand in hand. There's the technical fixes to get things running better, but it's also the emotional side of things that we have to work on with society to create that willingness to give it a try. Because if you're not willing to even give it a try, how do you know it's that bad? Or maybe it's not so bad, or maybe it's actually quite good. So there's the hard technical stuff, the scientific stuff, the more black and white stuff, which the engineers can work on and the bureaucrats can work on. But there's also the soft side that mm-hmm. that we as a government need to work on in handling that transition.
But you're only speaking about MBPJ in this area.
So I was giving you an example of my constituency. Yep. But this is something that I've seen happening. I've seen the walkways in KL improving. I've seen the walkways in Subang Jaya improving. So definitely there are rooms for improvement throughout the whole Klang Valley, because the Klang Valley is much bigger than that. But yeah, that's something that has to be done.
You know, Ang, you spoke about rideshare and taxis. Those cost a lot of money. I don't think many of us would want to spend that kind of money to just travel from, you know, a short distance, for an example. And sometimes, as you said, and I'll be very honest, Rajiv, from the MRT station to where we are, I'd have to cross the LDP.
Yes.
And, you know, safety... Exactly. And all of that,
so,
right?
So that's why we take them in circles. I mean, the way I see it, we take them in circles. And so for everything that is around an MRT station or an LRT station, if it's within a 10-minute walking distance, then we should work on investing money in getting it connected. So this is something that is under the purview of the local councils. So we've got many local councils in the Klang Valley, and they all have put in money in the past, and I believe they will continue putting in money in the years to come for us to get there. So yes, that's something that must be worked. And we don't expect people to dash across highways. Mm-hmm. That's not right. We don't expect people to use Grab to get to the MRT station. That's optional. I mean, if you are more comfortable and you're financially capable of doing so, by all means, go ahead. But we should have options that don't require people to resort to that as the only choice.
Yeah. What are your other plans to increase ridership, Ang?
We have a digital transformation team. We call it Prasarana X, which is working on quite a few digital strategies. So, for example, we realize that we are a public infrastructure company. We provide mobility and connectivity to people. But underneath that, we are sitting on a massive layer of data, mobility data. So what we are doing right now is to mine and harness this data, provide some analytics and intelligence to it so that we can provide a better user experience to our commuters. So, for example, we are working on a journey planner, basically a trip planner to allow commuters to be able to plan their trips from point A to point B with a proper predictable travel time. Mm-hmm. That is something we are working on right now. In fact, we have already provided quite a few things, working with Google on the static data and quite a few other initiatives. So we are working on that.
Okay, so like the City Mapper, for an example.
Exactly.
That app is terribly useful, except for it's just tedious in this country because of how long it takes. So we're discussing public transportation, Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, co-hosting with me today. And also in the studio with us, Ang Yok Kee, Group Chief Operating Officer of Strategy and Transformation from Prasarana. If you have a question for any one of them, give us a call. The number is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. In the studio with us, we're discussing public transportation with Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, and Ang Yok Kee, Group Chief Operating Officer of Strategy and Transformation from Prasarana. If you have a question for them, give us a call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. You know, earlier on, Ang, you said you want to increase ridership, right? But we found that after investing billions of ringgit in public transportation, our ridership is only about, 20% now. What does that 20% mean? Does that include rail and bus? What does that 20% make up?
I think that's what they call the modal share, meaning the percentage of ridership taking public transport versus the total transport. Yeah. So by that... this thing was done by SPAD in the past under MOT, and Yeah, and maybe it covers the LRTs and MRTs, as well as KTMs and taxis and so on. Okay. So the numbers referring to is the portion of public transport over total transport.
So basically, what you're saying is that 80% of the trips that are made are still by private vehicles today, and 20% by public transport. So this is where we are as a starting point. How do we go from here? Do we have targets on moving upwards?
To increase that from that 20%. But before you answer that, Ang, I'm going to ask Rajiv this question, because one of the key transport policies by in the PH Manifesto is to promote the ownership and use of cars and to improve public transport in tandem. Now, doesn't that sound a bit schizophrenic?
Well,
which is it that we want to prioritize?
Actually, it's not. It's not, because there is a difference between ownership of cars as well as usage of cars. It is not necessarily the same. So we have a situation that the Klang Valley is a dense city, a dense metropolis, and people are all rushing to work in the morning and rushing back from work in the evening. So during that rush hours, we need people to use public transport to make overall transport viable. But we should not forget that Malaysia is also hundreds of other smaller towns, and of which we do not have congestion problems, and we do not have issues of people owning and using vehicles. And so I think aspiring to make vehicle ownerships more affordable, especially policies that enrich certain middlemen, I think that's a noble aspiration, or viable aspiration. So we try to get out policy barriers that cause prices of vehicles to be artificially more expensive. So, you know, Australia is a country that can be a benchmark. America can be a country that is a benchmark of what prices of cars can be and what Malaysians can aspire to. But just because you own a car doesn't mean you're part of the congestion problem in the Klang Valley. So you could be owning a car in a small town, say in Taiping, and that's different. So we need to have separate policies to manage the usage of cars within the city during peak hours. So this is where down the road, when we have when we have some improvements with public transport, the inspired confidence in people, things like parking charges in the city centre, things like congestion charging could become options on how we manage that. So I don't really see this as contradictory. It deals with the very, very different societies and very different urban-rural settings that we have as a country.
Okay, if you have a question on public transportation, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Rajivan, you have a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Basically, I'm staying in Chelan.
Okay.
Madana, and the station there that has been built by Pasarana and P. All right, I believe so. They have not taken care of how the public is going to walk back to any place from there. You know, it's not everybody drives a car and parks a car there. Right? Like, for example, today at 12:30, I went there, I couldn't find a parking.
Okay.
So okay.
My question to them is that, can you all please make sure you have a proper walkway and as well as lighted? At night, I see people stumbling over the whole area.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rajivan. Okay. Who's taking this one?
Okay, so I'll take this, because lighted walkways would indicate that this is beyond the jurisdiction of the either MRT or LRT station. Now, I've got to admit, I'm not the most familiar with Cheras, so I can't imagine this particular area that the gentleman mentioned. But the local councils would take care of the infrastructure outside the station. So walkways can be improved. We acknowledge that there definitely is room for improving walkways. And if this is under KL or under Kajang, maybe the caller could liaise with his respective local council or his elected representative's office to bring up this matter. So it is something that is not Herculean to fix. Lighting up walkways is not that complicated. And it's great that he's concerned about this and he wants it fixed. And it's something that I think is really important.
Yes, that's true, Rajiv. I think, so we have park and rides at most of our stations, and we're trying our best to light it up. And we have also increased the patrolling of our police bantuan, auxiliary police, to help escort passengers, or especially the women in at night, to walk to their cars.
That was
at night.
Very recent development, am I correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So we are doing all those to basically part of our process to continuously improve our services to the commuters.
Okay. Yes. What's your relationship like with the local councils? Because if you don't liaise with them, then there's going to be continue to have these gaps.
That's why we are here today.
Yeah, that's only Rajiv. You know, we haven't included everybody else. You have 115 stations running through many jurisdictions.
Yes, I think we'll probably see a lot of improvement from now on in terms of coordination and liaison with the local council. Just starting May, Prasarana is officially reporting to MOT. I think in the past, due to some reasons, Prasarana wasn't reporting to MOT. So with this right now, everything will be under one umbrella. As long as it's in a gambit of transport or public transport, MOT will have a full overview of that.
Okay. So a question here from Leonard. It's the same question as mine, which is the last mile issue. Ang, you mentioned that, you know, you're encouraging taxi and Grab and all of that. Do you have any concrete plans to bridge that gap?
Apart from those, well, first of all, the first mile and last mile is, like I said earlier, it is a collaborative effort between multiple parties. Prasarana, the e-hailing companies, taxis, local council. On our end, I think we are trying our best to work hand-in-hand with the e-hailing services company. If you go to our stations, you will see that we have quite a few things going on. For example, we are going through a POC, a proof of concept, with the e-scooter company. That will be probably micro last mile, so to speak, in one of our stations to see whether that could solve the very, very last mile for the passengers. I think I'd like to, you know, bring a point here as well. I think as more and more lines, rail lines, coming to the network, the usability of the network will grow tremendously. So we have more and more rails like LRT3 and MRT coming on board, and we're going to add another 80 kilometer length of rail onto our network. That will bring a lot of value in terms of connectivity.
Okay, we have a question. Rajivan has a follow-up comment, and he said he has spoken to the local council, but no action has been taken. Local council has allowed for new development to take place in front of the station, which has damaged the walkways. So there you go. You got to build this relationship with the local councils and get them going as well. I mean, you can't operate on your own, can you?
Exactly. We are constantly engaging. We have a team of people in our company to constantly engaging with all our stakeholders, the local council, the residents, and also during the project development, we constantly get feedback from the residents.
Okay, and Rajivan just feels that developers shouldn't pass the buck to somebody else, which is always the case, isn't it? We love doing that in this country because there's so many stakeholders. Are there enough trains and buses, Ang, to cater for the volume and to create increased ridership and improve quality, that, you know, the three pillars that you're championing?
Well, I think that's a heavy, that's a loaded question. Now, there are a couple of angles to look at that. I think in terms of the supply of buses and rail, that is something that I couldn't comment. That's the decision of the ministry and the authorities to decide. But from an operational standpoint, we are constantly doing our best with what we could. We have to manage our assets prudently. We try to increase the asset utilization, making sure that our buses and trains run more efficiently and also minimize the headway. I think those are some of the things we could do from our standpoint. But we need a lot of coordination and depending on the policymakers.
Okay. We have a tweet here from UP41, and he's saying, there is little savings from the monthly 100 ringgit for many passengers because it works out to be 5 ringgit per day for, say, 20 working days. And passengers pay more if the travelling days are less than 20. What is the average fare per passenger trip?
Well, I think the real test is looking at the ridership number. I think if you look at before and after, the ridership has increased by 14%.
14%, and let me just clarify, most of it was from the MRT.
Including MRT as well, yes.
Okay, but the highest of the 14% contribution was from the MRT.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, so I guess in terms of the ridership numbers, it has proven that it has increased. Obviously, there's still a lot of... we are seeing a continuous uptick in the ridership in terms of subscription level to the My 100 Pass. So I think we are pretty positive with that. We are continuing our marketing effort, promotional effort. We are probably going to, probably work with corporates to get them into signing up, onto this program as part of their employee incentive program.
Now, it will always be a different case for everyone. Maybe those traveling very short distance, or maybe those who do not use it every single working day, so 22 days a month, may not see the savings to be as big. But a sizable amount of people travel more than an hour a day. So when you travel this longer distance, you easily spend more than 10 ringgit a day, some people even 15 ringgit a day on public transport. If you change between two lines, one LRT, and then you change to the MRT, and maybe you have a final bus connection, it could add up to be quite a bit. So the 100 ringgit pass does make it more affordable to quite a lot of people. And for those who feel that they don't travel as often and they want to go with the touch and go, a single ticket at a time system, that option has not been taken away. It's still there. But it's good to know that the ridership has gone up. And I think that's where the focus should be. We need to get more utilization out of our trains, because it costs Prasarana the same to run the train from one end to the other end. Whether we have more people on it or less people on it, the operation costs incurred by Prasarana is around the same. So the financial viability of Prasarana, the ability to balance the books, not make money.
Yep.
I know we're not going to go there. Making money is a pipe dream. But yes, the ability to balance the books and make the best use of the government subsidies that they have would hinge on getting more people on the trains and more people on the buses. And so things like the journey planner, it's something that I can't wait to see happen, and I'm glad to hear Ang a few minutes ago talk about it, because that's something that nearly every first world city has.
Oh,
so
yes,
it's about time that KL gets it. So that's great. That's coming out, and it's good that you're doing some promotion. So it'd be good to see more promotion, more awareness being created on, leave your car at home, save the toll, save the parking, hop on the train to work, and this 100 ringgit pass makes it worthwhile. So you can keep your car at home, use your car the nights to go out on the weekends with your family. But when you go to work and you're just driving alone, then you might be better off, hopping on the train if you are, within reasonable distance of the train.
Yeah. So sure, we have a question here. Rapid KL should review the 5 kilometer radius for shuttle bus services and whether smaller buses instead of the big bus should be used, and this may increase ridership.
Well,
on. That just brought back memories of the bus mini. My goodness.
Right on. We actually are looking into the possibilities of doing again to meet the last mile problem, is to look at the on-demand buses. So we are experimenting with the possibility of introducing smaller buses, but based on demand. So it's a little bit like your e-hailing, but for buses, except that the bus wouldn't stop right in front of your house, but it will stop at a common stops between in a particular location.
Well, roughly when do you think we could see
Rajiv is putting down deadlines here.
We are still working on the viability of this. It's a long way to go.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, right? Countries have done it very successfully. Singapore, for an example. Of course, okay, they are a tiny, tiny place. London has one of the best public transportation system in the world. Why don't we just copy shamelessly and just use it? What's stopping us from doing that?
Yeah, I think that's Rajiv's baby.
Okay. Well, London is actually a very good example, because we both have about 8 million people, and we both have about 2,000 plus square kilometres. But I guess London had a head start. They dug in all these tunnels a very, very long time ago. And the cost of retrofitting KL today to get the extensive underground network that London has, it's really, really expensive, especially in today's economic climate. So in terms of public transport ridership, yes, we should aim to catch up with London. If I'm not mistaken, London's in the range of 50 to 60% public transport modal share as compared to us at 20%. So we should aspire there, but maybe we might use different tactics to get there that are more economically viable, because we just need to be a bit realistic about how we get there. But the aspiration, that's something that I have. In fact, for those who have been following the shows that I've done on BFM on public transport over the last 5 years, London has always been a very
a great common example.
Yep. Singapore may not be a fair apple-to-apple comparison because of its size and its density, but I think London may be a fairer city to compare the Klang Valley to.
Okay. We'll come back and have this discussion about public transportation. Once again, if you have a question for Rajiv or Ang from Prasarana, give us a call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. It's our public transportation discussion going on right now with Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, as my co-host this afternoon, and our guest today, Ang Yok Kee, Group Chief Operating Officer of Strategy and Transformation from Prasarana. If you have a question for them on public transportation, just give us a call. The number is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. I have a question for you in terms of ticketing. We have touch and go. We have all sorts of ways in which you can pay. You have the My 100, My 50 now. Why don't we just have one way of paying for public transportation? I mean, I can swipe it anywhere I want. Why can't we do that?
Exactly. I think this concept has been talked about in the past, and the terminology for it is ICPS. It's Integrated Cashless Payment System. And I think that is currently is under review by the ministries. That based on our understanding is that it is on review. We have been consulted on our views on what to do with that. So I think the short answer is that the government is looking into it. Now, we are doing something similar, in the future when the opportunity arises, we'll be able to do that in KL. At the same time, right now, we have MOT have directed us to Penang to work with the Penang state on working on the same thing in Penang. Payment system.
All right, yeah. Then. What about quality? That was one of your pillars that you're looking at. How are you going to improve quality?
That is part of the Journey app that I was talking about, to be able to provide the commuters with a better experience, meaning not only in terms of the timing of the buses and rail and so on, but also provide them with the information regarding the nearby areas, the commercial shops that they want to go to. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the My Journey app that you're talking about?
Exactly.
When can we expect this?
There will be, and right now you can do static data on the website, but we are working on the phase one. I think it will be launched sometime around the end of this year.
Okay.
And there'll be further phases, launched to phase two and phase three to better improve the apps next year.
Okay, there's so many questions here, Ang. I can't really ask all of them because many of them are asking about connectivity. Kota Kemuning, no trains going there. What's the best way to get here? You know, all sorts of questions. And I think this app is going to solve a lot of problems. We have Andrea on the line. Andrea, you have a question.
Hi. Hi. So I take the public transport quite often.
Okay.
And you know, there's always problems like delays and the aircon not working, which is can be quite difficult during rush hour. So I'm wondering what's the reason for that and what can be done to fix that.
Okay. What are the statistics like, Ang? I mean, what's the data showing you? How often is this downtime?
The common feedback that we got from the social media, one of them is issues regarding comfort and convenience. In this case, would be the aircon too hot or too cold, and a few other issues related to that. So I think from Prasarana's standpoint, we have a dedicated team that will look into all these issues, and then the information will be fed to the station operators for them to further act on the operational issues. But I think, you know, this is something that will happen in any operations, and we are constantly getting feedback and learning from the process to improve it.
I think that's great that there's effort to put in to address this. Maybe one of the concerns would be the buses. How besides the aircon, the comfort of the buses, buses should depart on time. Buses should arrive on time. If it's like every 20 minutes, would it come every 20 minutes? Is that something that Prasara and I is working on addressing?
Yes, definitely. I think the back to Journey app, again, that will help in terms of predicting the timing. But right now also, the bus team have already done something called the route optimization. So it's like the hub and spoke method. Basically, you know, a certain portion of the road is congested, and therefore it will affect the entire journey. So what we do is that for the section that is not congested, the buses will make a turnaround, and then the passengers will have to hop on to the other bus that will take them through the congested road.
My next question would be, how do you get your people who drive the bus, people who man stations, everyone to be happy that, you know, and, you know, passionate about the work that they do? And that makes a huge difference, because you're coming in contact with thousands of people every day. Half your battle will be won if you had really passionate people on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have our academy that does trainings for our staff. I think the staff are going through continuous improvement in terms of providing better service, in terms of doing their job better. That includes the bus captains, the customer service officers, so on and so forth. I think also what we do is that we will we are giving a lot of incentives for employees to give a better service to the public in general.
Okay, I suppose it's how you pay them and how, you know, they're happy as well. It's not an easy job driving the same route over and over and over again. You really have, it takes a certain character to actually want to do it, isn't it? When we have a question here, delays, delays, delays. Why can't we be reliable like the Japanese? Is it our attitude?
Well, I think that that's something that has a bit of attitude as well as a bit of circumstances. So attitude is where the discipline of the drivers and also probably the happiness of the drivers is. So you got to get both instilled in the drivers. And that's something that I have expectations that Prasarana and the other bus companies in this country would work on improving in the years to come. But also the circumstances is because we're dealing with unpredictable traffic in KL at the moment. But that will naturally change as we get more infrastructure out there, more buses out there, more ridership, less car usage. The predictability of traffic jams gets better. So the predictability of arrivals gets better. And you know, can't emphasize this enough. We are waiting with eagerness for this app to come about. Now, KTM has launched very recently. The minister has launched the KTM, the My Real Time app, where people can start to have prediction as to what time the train is coming. Is there a 3-minute delay? Is there a 10-minute delay? Is the train on time? So you can, you know, go do it, run an errand. You can grab a bite to eat while knowing that the train will be here at this minute. And if that that is something that is going to be expanded. Ang has talked about how that's coming to the buses soon. So that when that predictability is there, I think everyone will feel a bit more comfortable. And there's no waiting in the bus stop with that wondering, is it going to come in 2 minutes time or 20 minutes time?
Yep.
And I think that will change how we look at public transport a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a split between rail and buses. I think for rail, we have pretty much good data. The data with the trains are almost real time. And we could also marry that. What KTM does is that it marries that with the emergency response system, meaning when there's any service disruptions or delays in services, then that data will be fed into that system. And we have that readily available. For rail, we could do that almost right away. It is the buses that is that pose some difficulties, and we are going through, you know, we have trackers that was installed on the buses in the past, but however, there were some issues with those, and we are currently looking into how to salvage that or reinstall new ones. Okay. And with that, we'll be able to provide real-time data on the buses.
Okay. Finances aside, which I understand was a huge burden you sort of took over from the previous management. But what else are you trying to fix in a big way in that? You know, so we will also give you some time. We'll understand the extent of this problem and, you know, to be reasonable enough. You want to go through that with us?
True. I think our hands are full. There are quite a few things to look at. So in terms of getting ourselves, well, first of all, we have to separate between the operation viability in terms of finances, as well as the financing costs and the huge depreciation on our huge infrastructure assets. So that is important because what we can control right now is the operational viability, the fair revenue, the non-fair revenue, and the cost that comes with it. What happens, the depreciation and the financing costs is a combination of legacy effect. We have built a lot of infrastructure, you can see, you know, throbbing in the cities, and that comes with a lot of debt as well. So that is one part. So what we're trying to do right now is to make sure that we get the most fair revenue, get the most non-fair revenue, minimize our costs by making our operations more streamlined, more efficient, and something that is not paid attention to is that I think there's a lot of potential that we could do with the non-fair revenue side. Like I said, we could make our tenancy more vibrant, our stations more vibrant with marquee tenants. So, for example, like we just recently we announced we had a media press release with Ninja Van, where the e-commerce parcels can be delivered through our stations, and that is an important move. That shows that also brings tractions for people to come to our stations and therefore take our assets, take our rail.
All right. Anything else, Rajiv, that you want to add on to this?
Well, I'm glad in the last 1 year we have started moving things back on the right track. We've addressed affordability. Previously, taking public transport was somewhat expensive for a lot of instances. In fact, oftentimes, if you were traveling great distances, you had to cross two rail lines and maybe a bus. Taking public transport could be more expensive than private transport. And I'm glad that imbalance has been fixed. We've introduced the monthly pass, and that's brought down the affordability issue. We are working on improving predictability. The journey app is on the way. We have to work on improving reliability. So that's a work in progress. But by and large, we're heading I believe you're hitting the right track when it comes to public transport. Changes like this involves thousands of people across various different departments. We've got tens of thousands of people in Prasarana, I believe. Thousands of drivers. This huge workforce that needs to slowly change the direction. It's, I guess, not a ship that we can just like switch over in a week or two.
It's a mindset shift.
The mindsets, yes. The motivation, the mindsets. And we've got lots of stakeholders, you know, local councils getting involved to buy into to why it's important to get the other components, the last mile components, fixed. And you know, as we've seen today in the show, some local councils are more proactive and some may not see the importance as much, but that's a work in progress. But by and large, I think we're on the right track. We're getting there. We've put in place the pieces to get there. And in the long run, we have to increase ridership. We have to get people comfortable to leave their private transport options at home and use public transport to go to work, especially during the morning and evening rush hour in the Klang Valley. Because for a city that's 8 million and probably will grow to 10 million very soon, this is the magnet of growth in the country. There's just no two ways about it. We just cannot sustain without public transport. We just cannot build enough highways to get everyone moving comfortably from end to end without massive traffic jams if we keep using our cars as we do today. Mm-hmm. So, very important. So, you know, to Ang and his team in Prasarana, you've got a momentous task ahead of you. The country is eagerly depending on you guys to get the reliability up and to then demonstrate. So we need to talk more. I think we should come back in a year's time and update the public.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 6 months.
Okay, next 6 months. Let's do it again in the next 6 months.
Is there a commitment? 20% ridership today. What is the target over the next 5 years?
it takes a lot of parties to work together on this with not only the local councils and the state councils, but also with the other stakeholders of the transport sector, the e-hailing, the KTM, and so on. So we'll do our part. We are constantly improving our services, up our services, and so on and so forth. And I think also importantly, we are doing a lot to improve the position of the Prasarana brand. And that comes back to the point just now about how to make employees more committed to working for Prasarana. I think it is important that, I think in the past, Prasarana may not have the right brand positioning in the past, but right now we are doing a lot to make sure that we connect with everyone. We have a tagline that says connectivity and mobility for all. So what we strive to do is to not only connect you from point A to point B, but also to connect with you as a person, as the commuters. We want to give you the best service possible. And I'm not sure whether you had a chance to look at the Hari Raya video that we just launched recently, which plays around the community of autistic child. And I think we got a lot of positive feedback from the social media. And that's a message we want to send across, that we are not only connecting you physically, but we're also connecting you from the heart.
Okay. So disabled, the physically challenged, the elderly, everybody has been taken care of. Oh, when can we wait for this? I can't wait to see this happen in a big way. I'm having you back in 6 months.
All right.
We're holding you accountable. Tracking you every 6 months. Thank you both very much for joining me today. Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, co-hosting with me today, and Ang Yok Kee, Group Chief Operating Officer of Strategy and Transformation from Prasarana, speaking to us about public transportation on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.